And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we'll begin in just a few minutes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When my son Matthew, who, as I said in Sunday school, will turn 50 years old tomorrow. How in the world that can be, I have no idea. But when he was in his first year of organized hardball, it was T-ball. I don't know if you ever played T-ball. I remember I enjoyed T-ball, but he was on a very bad team. They, that being the Sterling Heights rec department, had about 16 more boys sign up to play hardball than they had planned for. So they put all these first-time players on one team, and they were mercied every game. Now, what that means is once the opposing team gets so many runs ahead of you, they end the game. And it was not uncommon for my son's team to lose by 20 runs or 30 runs. And in one game, they lost by over 50 runs. I felt so sad for my son that I called up the rec center and I got the name of the person that was in charge. And I just said, how could you do that? I said, why didn't you take one of these players and put them on each team? And they said, oh, we couldn't have done that. It would have put too many guys in each team. And I said, you have 16 guys on one team. He goes, yes. He goes, I understand. He says, my son is in your league. And I said, will you please change teams? You put your son on my son's team and we'll transfer. He goes, oh, no, I can't do that. But on one particular day, the first batter got to first base, amazingly. And then the second batter hit the ball. And the guy on first base immediately headed for third base over the mound. And then he ran home, and as he was about to touch home plate, he put his hands up in triumph. We didn't score too many runs. Of course, the umpire had no choice but to call him out because he had not touched second base. How many today are following the course of least resistance and are going in the wrong direction? The title of my message today is Finish Your Course. Yesterday, as we were eating breakfast at the hotel where we spent the night, they had on the television a bike race that was going on there in France as part of the Olympics. And I watched with interest as there were two men that were riding their bikes and they were about 1 minute ahead of the pack. And I'm thinking, 1 minute? If I'm at the back of the pack, I'm wondering if there's another course I could take. Because there's no way I'm going to make up a minute. But that would be illegal, wouldn't it? And since everything is being televised in today's world, when it comes to those type of things, there's no way he'd get away with it. And yet how many Christians, how many people today want to take a different course than what the Lord has planned for us? I was reading this one day about the religious practices of yoga. And I know that yoga is very popular in today's world. I know there are even some churches that will have yoga in their church. But a study of yoga will show that the stretching exercises are completely inseparable from the Hindu religion and the lies of the devil. Yoga was designed to prepare a person for death. Each of the poses are named after Hindu gods and are actually invoking possession. the gradual surrender to self-realization that you are a God is literally taught in all that the class is. The practice imposes honor the pagan gods of Hinduism, including the hand gestures that invite spiritual awakening through ungodly Eastern meditations. See, it's a course that many today are willing to take. A number of years ago, we had a couple that were coming to our church, and they attended for a while and were very active, and then there were problems in their marriage, and they separated, and someone told me where he was living now. And they said, why don't you go by and knock on his door and tell him that we still miss him, and would you come to church? So I went by and I knocked on his door, and the woman that was living with him, not his wife, but the woman that was living with him, answered the door, and she looked at me like, who are you dressed up with a tie? And you look like a Baptist preacher. Though she didn't say that, I said, I'm wanting to talk too. And she goes, well, I don't know if he's available. And I told her, tell him who's at the door. And I gave him my card. And a couple of minutes later, he walked over and opened the door and let me in. And he says, well, how are you doing and how did you find me? And I explained the situation, and he said, come on in. And I was sitting in the kitchen, and he was at the table drinking some coffee. He did offer me some coffee, but you know how I feel about coffee. My wife drinks it. I don't. And we're talking, and his friend said, I used to be a Christian, but now I'm a Hindu. And I looked at her and I said, do you really want to die a Hindu? And she goes, oh, no, I'm not going to die. But you know, there are people that are taking different courses in life. And I say to you, do you really want to die going down that course? Webster says, a Hindu theistic philosophy teaching the suppression of all activity of body, mind, and will in order that the self may realize its distinction from them and attain liberation. Now, I want to be liberated from hell in the power of sin. But I want to do it the way the Bible teaches. Dr. Terry McClure, who was a missionary in one of the islands of the Pacific, wrote, yoga is evil in all its forms. Just putting a Christian title on an Eastern religion does not make it holy. Religion, as I said in my opening object lesson, will send people to hell. Religions are ordained and begun by Satan. He's a counterfeiter. He will direct people down the wrong path. The other day I was asked when I got to work if I'd be willing to go to the airport and get a coffin that was being shipped. They said, there's nothing in it. It's a green coffin. Do you know what I mean by green coffin? That means it's going to dissolve in the ground. And I said, well, gladly. I'll be glad to go. I mean, I enjoy driving. And you know, the problem with going from Utica to the airport is that there's what on almost every road? Construction. I'm just amazed at how much money is being spent this year on construction. And I'm working my way to the airport, and I notice as I'm going to the airport that I certainly don't want to be using that same route coming back, because on the other side of this wall, the traffic is tied up and way back. Aren't you always glad when you're going in the direction where the traffic isn't being slowed down because of construction or whatever? And so I came back a different direction. You know, the fact is, if you're going from the airport to Utica, there are many different routes you can take. But let me tell you this, that between where you're standing and heaven's gate, There's only one route. There's only one way. And Jesus said there are two ways. One is what? Large and wide. Because many there are that are traveling it. And one way is narrow and few that find it. We need to make sure we're on the right trail. Take your Bibles, if you will, now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 3. And it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now, I'll be honest with you, that's a good missionary verse. Because there are many of us today that are hiding our gospel. And to who is that hurting? To those that don't know the truth. Notice verse 4. "In whom the God," small g, "of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." How's your light today? Are you reflecting that light in the right way? How important it is that we are serving the Lord in a right way and that we're following the course that the Lord has with us. Take your Bibles now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul, as you know, is written these words to a young preacher. And in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4, it says, "I charge thee," he could say, "I charge thee, Timothy, but I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Oh, that sounds like today. They don't want to be told the truth. They want to be told something that makes them feel good. Verse 4. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministries." Now, if he would have ended his letter right there, Timothy could have been charged up and said, "Yes, I want to do this." But none of us want to hear of something sad in a letter. But notice Paul does not stop there. Verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." No, he wasn't going to the airport. He wasn't going to a bus station or a train station. He was going to a block where he would lower his neck and an axe would remove his head. "I am ready to depart." Now, Paul was going to be beheaded because he was a Roman citizen. If he had not been a Roman citizen, but simply someone preaching the gospel as Paul did, he would have either been crucified, or like many Jews in Rome, he would have been put on a pole, greased, and set on fire at night and been used as a street lamp. But because he was a Roman citizen, he would have had his head removed with an axe. "That the time of my departure is at hand." I know it's coming, Timothy. Notice, though, this verse. I hope you have it underlined in your Bible. Or if you were reading with your phone, that you have it highlighted there. Paul says in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that loved his appearing. Are you waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ? Are you excited about seeing your Savior? Verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me. You can almost feel the pain in Paul as he writes this. Timothy, please come. Please come shortly. For Demas has left me. The one I was hoping for to encourage me, he's gone. What we need to do is realize that we are a team working together for the cause of Christ. And that all of us are working in that regard. Point number one, and I have 3 points. Point one, fighting the battle. Notice there, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. Paul endured to the end of his life. And I know this, that should be all of our desires. One of the pastors in the area told me, and along with a number of other pastors, he said, my greatest fear is that as I grow older, that I do something stupid and ruin my testimony. And I think all of us have that concern. We don't want to do something stupid that will ruin our testimony for the cause of Christ. He endured to the end. He never gave up or threw in the towel. As I was watching those guys riding their bikes yesterday there in France, and they were getting ready to end the race in Paris, I asked my wife, I said, do you think their legs are tired? They've been riding those bikes, and the seats are so small, they can't be comfortable, Debbie. Yeah, you've ridden bikes many miles. Man, your legs get tired. Now, when I was in Bible college, I bought a bike because I didn't have money for a car. And I bought a Schwinn, which means it was made in the United States. Schwinns aren't made in the United States anymore. And I've been told that I could sell it now for more than what I bought it for. And if you'd like to buy it, I'd be glad to sell it to you. But one of the reasons that people don't ride a bike after a certain time, it's hard on the legs. But you know, one thing I noticed that during that race, nobody stopped. They had guys on motorcycles driving up and handing off bottles of water. I thought that was pretty good, that at whatever speed they were going, they could pass off that water bottle. That was good. And then I saw one guy stop. I don't know why he stopped. A car pulled up behind him. He threw the bike to the side of the road. A guy gripped another bike off the bike rack on the car and handed it to him, and away he went. He didn't stop. He just changed bikes. Well, we find that it's hard sometimes to walk as a believer. We're afraid of being mocked, being laughed at. But Paul never gave up or threw in the towel. To use a boxing thought, he answered the bell every time and fought till the bell sounded. He remained faithful. And you say, well, that was Paul. Well, can't you live a life as good as Paul did? Don't you have the same Lord? And the same salvation that is offered to you was offered to Paul. In his first letter to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, he wrote, war, a good warfare. Be prepared. I have been watching a set of documentaries on the war in the Pacific during World War II. I tell you what, the United States lost a lot of good men. Not 10 or 20 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, but thousands upon thousands of good men who fought the battle so that we can have liberty. We should never forget what was paid so that we could have liberty of those who live in the United States of America. But we should never, ever forget what was done for us by Christ so that we could have liberty and what we should do. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith in chapter 6, verse 12. Fight a good fight. In 1 Corinthians 9, he says, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I. Paul said over and over again that we are to fight the fight. Paul fought the good fight of faith against the world, the flesh, and the devil to the final bell. So the end point one, it's simply this, fight on. We know that during a period of time in history that Christians were burned at the stake. And many of them, as they were tied to the stake and as they put the wood around them, would preach to those that were watching. Or they would sing to those that were there. And it bothered them so bad that eventually they literally tied their mouths in such a way that they could not proclaim the gospel. But they were willing to die for the cause of Christ. Point number two, finishing the course. Paul said, I have finished my course. We all know that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Christian life and commitment is likened unto a racer in a race. Now, I remember when I was in high school, and don't ask me how long ago that was. But in gym class, we were doing certain track and field events. And one of the things we had to do was to go over the hurdles. Any of you ever have to go over the hurdles? They have the low hurdles and the high hurdles. And I remember being taught that the one leg, you put it out and you hold that. And the other leg, you kind of have to pull it up. And being that I'm 70, it doesn't go up very well. But I remember watching those that were going over the hurdles, and I'm thinking, I can do that. I mean, after all, you know, you're 16 years old, obviously with all your fellow classmates, and you're thinking, I can do that. And I remember I went over the first one. Oh, I was so excited. There were only two more to do. There were only three. I mean, you think you could get over three, right? And I went over the second one, and I was so glad. You know, the track there at Stevenson was brand new because it was a brand new high school. And I went over the second one, and I'm getting ready for the third, and my foot, the one that's out in front, it hit that hurdle, boom, center. What do you think happened? The hurdle went down. I went down. What's your natural reaction to do? Throw out your hands. I was ripped up both hands, my knee, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to get an A. The teacher said to me, would you like to try again? I didn't finish the course. You know, I got over two. Shouldn't that be good enough? And yet how many times in our Christian walk we said, well, I did good for a while. That should be good enough. No, each one of us has a course that is set before God, and that course doesn't end until we die. The runner in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 is to run patiently and faithfully. Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, holding forth the word of life. Folks, the Bible is important. We are a Bible-believing Baptist church. I don't want to go to a church that uses part of a verse and then tries to say, well, that's good enough. No, I want the Bible to be used. And Paul said, holding forth the word of life. Question, I wonder how many never finish their course, but instead opt out or drop out. They're sitting along the side watching the others go ahead. And they're saying, well, I worked hard. I was involved. I gave. No, let's keep running till the course is finished. Fight on. Run on. How many points did I say I had? 3. That means I'm coming to what? The last point. Yes. Keeping the faith. Notice what it says there in the third part of verse 7. I have kept the faith. The faith refers to the body of Christian doctrine found in the Word of God, which our judge declared was once delivered unto the saints. The faith is something to which we add nothing, nor do we subtract anything. Unfortunately, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul warns in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now, as most of you know, my dad was the founding pastor here at the Covenant Baptist Church. And other than the time I was in Texas for my Bible training, I have been a member of the Covenant Baptist Church the whole time. And I remember during a period of time in the late 60s and early 70s that this auditorium was full from the second row. I say the second row because people don't like usually to sit on the first row. But from the second row all the way back in those days, there was no sound booth back there. And the pews went all the way to the back wall, all the way to the back. And this auditorium was full week after week. You say, well, Pastor Paul, well, what has happened? Well, a number of things have happened. People die, like my parents, like some of your parents who were part of the church originally. But then we had children who grew up in the church that simply stopped going to church. They're no longer involved. And their children are not involved. And in today's world, we are ones that love to be entertained. And it's hard to get people to come. And I know that our pastor is doing what he can to get people to come, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle. Because too many that were on the course, they're just not on it anymore. They've gone in different directions. Paul said, I kept the faith. I kept the faith. I didn't want to be shipwrecked. Fight on. Run on. Hold on. Which brings us to the conclusion. Of course, my dad used to say that word conclusion meant nothing to some pastors. Why should we fight on and run on and hold on? See verse 8 again. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now, we read in scriptures that we are going to take our crowns and we are going to take those things that we are awarded in heaven and give them back to Jesus. You want to be able to give Jesus something, don't you? You want to be able to give him one of the crowns that you can earn. Whatever you are given for your good works, you want to be able to give them to Jesus, don't you? We want to be doing something. So we need to fight the good cause of Christ. We need to keep the faith. And we need to finish the course. Maybe this verse could be read, you can see I kept the faith. Because I finished my course. Because I was willing to fight the good fight. Are you willing to fight the good fight? Are you willing to finish the course? Are you willing to stay in the battle? One of my professors in Bible college, Dr. Raymond Barber, had this saying, keep on keeping on. And you can write that down in your Bible. Keep on keeping on. Shall we stand together? Are you willing to make the sacrifice to serve him until he calls you home? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. Lord, give us the encouragement that we need. Help us, Lord, to have the strength necessary and the determination to stay the course. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.